Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's say a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the gathering of your people unto your name. I ask in the name of Jesus, by your Spirit, you grant utterance. I speak as your oracle, that your word goes forth unhindered by any demonic force, in simplicity, and our hearts are established in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. All right, may all be seated. And once again, I want to say that I have immense respect for this house, for this ministry, Christ Chapel, and also for your pastor. And I want to thank him for inviting me once again to speak. Amen. All right, he's been speaking on the subject of faith, which is why, you know, sometimes you go and preach in places and it's almost like a tiptoeing in what you are saying, because you shouldn't contradict the spirit of the house. But when you come into a place where what they are teaching is what you are called to teach, so you feel very free and have that freedom in the spirit. All right, so this evening, that's the time now. All right, for 60 minutes I will share on what the Holy Spirit has taught me recently on the subject of faith. We define faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. The scripture says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. Faith is the evidence of things that are not seen, and the substance of things that you hope for. I'm going to teach this evening with the substance of things you hope for, but let me just touch on the evidence of things that are not seen. When God asks us to believe for something, his responsibility is to provide you with the evidence of what he has asked you to believe. In other words, faith is not blind. Faith is based on sight. God provides you with the evidence, and once you see the evidence that he provides by the Spirit of God, then it becomes easy for you to accept the reality of that particular thing. It is true, the scripture says, what we read here, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But really, when you are walking by faith, you are also walking by sight. It is just a sight of a better kind. In other words, we are looking not at things that are seen, but we are looking at things that are not seen. So what God does by his Spirit is to open the eyes of our understanding, or the eyes of our hearts, to see certain things, and he provides the evidence of the existence of certain things. And so we on this earth begin to talk and to behave like that thing is true. Do you get what I'm saying here? So if I came in through this way and there was just a small door here, and every other person comes in this way into this church, and while I came in this way, I saw a red car on the street, a Mercedes-Benz, and two people sitting on it. One was wearing a green shirt, One was wearing a blue shirt, and I spoke with them. And then I came in. And every other person came in through this wheel. And there was no car there. Now, if I say, while I was coming in, I saw a red car parked there with two gentlemen sitting on it, every other person that came in this way will say there is no red car parked. But will they change my opinion? No. Because I saw it with my own eyes. I have the evidence of things that every other person did not see. That's why Elisha, when his servant said, when he looked and said, the servant said, look, there are chariots all around here. Why are you not afraid? He said, more are with us than against us. But the man looked and looked at him and said, what are you talking about? He said, God opened his eyes that he may do what? See. And the minute he saw the chariots all around, his mind changed. So is the business faith becomes easy when we know that God is not asking us to believe things that he hasn't provided evidence for. He is saying in answer to prayer, he will show you the evidence of what other people cannot see. And based on that, you should now start speaking and acting like those things are in what? Existence. So he wants to open your eyes and he wants to open your ears. So see and to hear certain things from the realm of the Spirit that your mind accepts. And so you begin to act that way. So when Noah went to build the ark, he didn't think he was crazy. God had shown him the evidence of a flood that was coming. It was the logical thing for Noah to do. It was illogical to other people. But it was logical to Noah. Because Noah had seen what they had not seen. Do you get what I'm saying? When you say you have so-and-so in your account, you haven't seen the money. What you have seen is the evidence of the money. Do you understand what I'm saying? Alright? You didn't see the money. What you saw was you opened and there was a statement on your computer or wherever that said 87,500 naira is in this account. Based on that, you can write a check fearlessly of 30,000 naira, or based on that, you can tell somebody, follow me to the ATM machine, I will withdraw 30,000 naira for you. Based on what? Evidence. So God shows you the evidence of what you have, then say, go out there and make a what? Withdrawal. So we are struggling to believe because we haven't seen the evidence. Do you get what I'm saying? Where the struggle should be is in prayer, open my eyes that I may see. For once that prayer is answered, faith is no longer an issue. Faith is the substance of things that you hope for. Now, that another translation says, the giving of substance, this is what I want to settle with, to what you hope for. Now, I'm going to tie this up with evidence. But what does it mean to give substance? In other words, to substantiate something. So if I have a dream that I want to build a house on a land over there, I just want to build a house. And every day I tell people, I'm going to build a house. The house will have 5 rooms. I'm going to build a house. The house is never going to come to pass until I start giving substance to it. Now, what do? I go and ask people selling the land that how much does it cost to buy a piece of land. They tell me. Then I look at how much money I have spent, disposable income in the last 5 years. I realize that if I had saved some of that money, I would have had purchasing power to buy the land. So I decide to now substantiate that land or that house by cutting down on certain things. That decision, I am now giving substance to the things that I'm doing what? Hope for. Alright? A person that says, alright, let's buy 100 bags of cement, is giving substance. He is substantiating. So there is hope, there is faith. This is why faith is always an act. Do you get what I'm saying here? Hope is just to believe that something will happen. Faith is acting to make that thing happen. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why I interrupt the scripture when it says, by faith, Abraham went out. By faith, Abel offered him. By faith, everything was an action. Now, where am I getting to with this? So faith is given substance. But first of all, what is hope? And this is where a lot of us miss it. Because hope is not my desire. Hope is not my aspiration for something. That is not hope. That is my own personal desire. Now, my desire for certain things can be an expression of the nature of God inside me that wants, alright, an expansion, the expression of the divine life on the inside of me, but it's still not what is called biblical hope. Let me explain. If you desire now that pastor should give you 30,000 naira, now think about this, because you need it 12 noon tomorrow. At 12:30, you don't have the money. You now call him. Sir, I'm really disappointed at you. Honestly, I am heartbroken. He says, what about? I don't have 30,000 naira, and you did not give me. How? And you have 30,000 naira, and you did not give me. You'll say, did you tell me? Alright? Now, if after the service you went to him and said, please, I need 30,000 naira, I need to buy something. And he says, come tomorrow at 12 noon to collect the 30,000. Your expectation is no longer based on your desire, but on a verbal promise that he made. At 12 noon, when you call him, he's now indebted to you by the promise that he made. Do you get what I'm saying? Now he has created this biblical hope. Hope in you, it has moved from desire to an expectation based on a promise that he has made to you. So what are you going to tell him? Remember thy word unto me, upon which thou hast caused me to do what? Hope. Now look at Psalm 119 and verse 49. It says, David said unto God, remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me. Psalm 119 verse 49. To hope. This has caused me to hope. Remember thy word. Which means it's upon this that I'm hoping now, your word. This has been my comfort in all my affliction, for your word has done what? Quickened me. So when God quickens a person, you know the Bible says when God made Abraham, he quickened the dead. When you quicken, is that you give life to that person. He says, thy word has quickened me. It was my comfort. I was in affliction, and then you showed me what you would do about that situation. So it is no longer just my desire. It is now an expectation that is based on your promise. Hope is not just your desire. You take your desire and communicate it to God in prayer, And then he gives you the evidence of what he will do about that situation, and hope is now born on the inside. Do you get what I'm saying here? Alright? It's not that, oh, you know, I just want something. God is the one who actually, alright, gives birth to that hope by a promise. Let me show this in Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 16. Let us look at this. Look at the interchange of words between promise and hope. Alright? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 6. Alright, there. For men verily swear. Or let's go back to verse 13. Let's go to 13. Now, or let's go to 12. I want to show something. Yeah. That we should not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, look at the word promise now. He's using the word promise. He will soon switch it to hope. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely will I bless thee, and in multiplying will I multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the what? Promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. For God willingly, more abundantly, to show to the heirs of the promise, he's still using promise, the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled from refuge, for refuge, to lay hold on the word hope that is set before us. How was that hope set before us? By a promise that God made. Do you get this? Now look at the next thing. Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and it enters into that which is within the veil, whither the forerunner, Jesus, has entered in. So God makes a promise. And then based on that promise, he says, now this hope has been created. You have an expectation. Now you can come in to the veil to lay hold upon this hope. Now follow me. So what is your point of entry within the veil? The promise that God made to you. Why would somebody come at 12 noon and knock and say, I have an appointment because a promise has been made to me to get 30,000 naira, and what happens is that the door is opened up and you have access to that office based on an appointment that was given to you through a promise that was made. Do you get what I'm saying? So what takes you into the veil there is what God said to you he will do. It is when you get into the veil or enter into the office that the 30,000 is given to you. It's when you enter into the veil, the holiest of all, that you lay hold on that promise. If you try to get that promise fulfilled without coming within, it will never be fulfilled. Do you get what I'm saying here? You say, well, God has promised me that. Okay, let's go and do something. All right, let's do it. And then you start running around, which is what people do after they get a promise from God. Then I'll start organizing. You haven't come in to lay hold on it. You are carrying out activities on the outside. That's why the Bible says, after Daniel saw by books what was promised in the book of Jeremiah, he went straight within. When Moses, it entered into his heart, he didn't go within. He took his rod and wanted to effect it. Do you get what I'm saying? And then he hit 30,000. When God told Abraham about, he took it and said, Sarah said, let's go into my maid Hagar. He went there. Many people hear from heaven and then, that's what the Bible says, haven't begun in the spirit, you are trying to perfect it in the flesh. So what happens? Brilliant idea starts. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do this. It's not by power or by might, but by spirit. So when he gives you a promise, he tells you, What you have to do with that promise is come inside. When you get inside, you will lay hold on that particular promise. I'm sure what God does here. So the first thing is not just to say, I really want something. And therefore I just go to God. God, give me this. Yes, I really want something. So I go to God. Open my eyes. Let me see from your word what you have to say about this. Open my ears. Let me hear from the word what you have to say about this. Once you see what the word of God has to say concerning that desire or aspiration that you have inside your heart, and you wait on God. And let me tell you how it works. Say, well, how am I going to see this thing? Two things. Number one, offer up what is called the prayer of consecration. Prayer of consecration means, Lord, I set my own personal agenda aside. And I am asking you to reveal your will. Because what happens is the motion inside your heart, which you call desire, is something God has placed on the inside of you. But your expression of that desire may be wrong. Alright? Abraham had a desire, but Abraham wasn't thinking about becoming a father of many nations. He wasn't thinking about Israel. He wasn't thinking about the body of Christ. He wasn't thinking about Jesus coming. He just wanted something. He said, a child for my inheritance. But when he took it to God, God opened the veil and said, look, this is not just about somebody for inheritance. This is something bigger than this, that for the rest of humanity, they will be talking about you. You may have toiled all night and said, I want to catch fish. And go to him, he says, there's no problem. But it's not just about catching fish. It's an apostolic ministry that is inside you. The desire is just a motion in you of what the Spirit of God wants to do. But it has to be interpreted by the Spirit to you. So you take it up to God in prayer and consecration. That this motion means something, but I'm not going to define it until you reveal it. Do you get what I'm saying? Men will just feel emotion and just say, well, I'm divine. Look, and you have to be careful. Saul got it right. He got the name of the family where the king was. He got the address right. He got to the place and interpreted it wrong. And said, surely Joab is the one. If he had anointed Joab, he would have made a mistake. The same problem they were trying to solve with Saul would have been amplified because he's the wrong person. So let God interpret what he has placed on the inside of you. That you are sincere doesn't mean you are accurate. Say, but I'm sincere. You can be sincerely wrong. Do you get what I'm saying? And when you are sincerely wrong, you cause havoc. So offer the prayer of consecration. Jesus said, as I hear, I judge. Why am I correct? He said, my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father. And God's will for you is good. God's will for you is acceptable. And God's will for you is perfect. Your own will for your life is not perfect. In other words, it's not whole, it's not complete. Even if that idea is implemented, you will still feel. That's why the Bible says they asked after their own loss, God gave them, but they were still envy. You will not be whole. If you just think that it's about a car, you will get the car, and you'll be wondering that somebody with a lesser car, you are still envious of the person. Are you following what I'm saying here? I've seen materially successful people who are insecure. And you may wonder why they are insecure. Because it's not accurate. So there is the prayer of consecration. That's why Peter said, We heard a voice from heaven. He said, listen, what we have, a more sure word of prophecy, you will do well to take heed. Like a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star rises. But no prophecy of scripture is of private interpretation. He said, it's of private. He says, knowing this first, no prophecy of scripture. The first thing about revelation is that it is not given for private interpretation. So it's possible to privately interpret it. He said, but the holy prophet spoke, not, he says, prophecy came of old, not according to the will of man, but they spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. So if you want to get into a move of the Spirit, remove your will. Dare to tell God, not my will, but thy will be done. I consecrate. That is why when people thought that faith teaching means name it and claim it, they were making a mistake. Faith starts with hearing from heaven. Hearing from heaven starts with consecration. So, not my will, but let thy will be what? Done. One day I was on a flight from South Africa. I saw the minister Sinach there. I said, oh, I know you. He said, oh, come and sit, let's talk. I said, so what do you go and do? She said, I went to record my album. I said, oh, this is your third album? She said, third, no. This is the seventh or eighth. Ah, I said, what about the other four? He said, you know, people think that it's when you break through, it's when you started singing or preaching. So she just laughed. So she told me a story. Said, six of us were friends, or seven of us. We used to attend Christ Embassy. We all decided we were relocating and going to London. Said we had done everything. He said, Pastor Chris just saw me and said, you know, I think you should stay. Don't go. Said, there's something inside you. Others, it might have been God's will. But she, he said, there's something. Contrary to her own will, she subjected herself. You understand? And let me tell you this. You will never enter God's plan for your life if God doesn't stop you from doing something you felt you should do. God is not an ATM machine where you come and say, this is what I want. Pam, 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 pam. What are the principles? Step number one, thank him for it. Step number two, say it five times. Step number three, do you understand what we're saying here? I always tell this, you don't confess Jesus as Savior to be your Lord. You confess him as Lord to be your Savior. Do you understand the order? The scripture says, if you will confess Jesus as Lord, you will be what? Saved. He that accepts the Lordship of Jesus will see the salvation of Jesus. Folks, please, let's understand this. There will be two dimensions to this faith thing. Remember, Peter was walking on water, going to Jesus. Huh? Then after some time, he began to sink. Then he said, Jesus, save me. And Jesus pulled him out. You can be on the Jesus, save me, and he's pulling you out of water. Or you can be walking on water with him. I am talking about the faith that causes a person to walk on water and do the supernatural. It starts with hearing from heaven. Hearing from heaven is not about voices. It is about you first of all concentrating and telling yourself, not my will. The second thing is that spend time praying in the Holy Spirit. Because of time, I just have to say this way. Until you hit the gusher. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? You hit the gusher, alright? And then when you hit the gusher, when you say, Lord, I consecrate my will to you, not my will, show me what you are saying in your word. When you hit the gusher, immediately after you hit the gusher and you are there, don't let there be a time lapse between when you hit the gusher and come out of prayer and when you read the Bible. Immediately after that session of prayer, if you are looking for God's will, open the scriptures and read. You say, where should I read in the Bible? Where you understand. Because God can talk to you from anywhere. But listen, Paul said, continue being filled with the Spirit and don't be drunk with wine with excess. He likened the infilling of the Spirit to wine. If a person drinks wine and they are drunk, after some time the effect of wine wanes with time. The influence of the Spirit of the mind can begin to wane with time. While it is still there in its fullness, open the Bible. The great man of prayer, E.M. Bounds, said, to have prayed well is to have read, studied well. Whoever prays well, when you open the Bible, you will read well. If there is no prayer, and they give you this Bible to read, you will just be reading. The Bible will never read you. You know, it's a difference between reading scriptures and the scriptures reading you. Are you following me? In other words, you see the story between David and Jonathan, and you see what is happening in your office. And then this is Jonathan. This is David. Wow, that's Saul. Wow. I didn't know you are this real God. And then you see what Saul did. Wow. This is what this man is doing. And then what Jonathan. Then you see what David did. God says, do that. Are you following me? Alright? So, you receive. You go to God in prayer. He creates that expectation by showing you something in scripture. Now, you don't go out and go and try to fulfill it. He says, come into my presence. Now you have an appointment. I told you to come at 10 a.m. to come and receive this thing I promised you. Come in and do what? Lay hold on it. Now, when you come in to lay hold on it, what is he giving you? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15 tells us. 9:15. It says that for this cause, this is the reason, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first, they which are called, as through that promise, might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Now, there are promises in the Word of God, as the Bible says, he's the mediator of a better covenant established upon better promises. But your inheritance is called one promise. Galatians 3 verse 13 tells us, now it says, for this cause, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first, they which are called might receive the promise. I want to show you what the inheritance is, which means you are coming in to receive the inheritance. That's why he's mediator, that you might come in to receive the promise of the inheritance. Now, what is the inheritance we are receiving? He tells us in Galatians 3, what that's the promise of the inheritance. 13. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, which curses everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. He didn't say blessings. Okay, blessings is different from blessing. Alright, I'm not just speaking English, I will show you. Blessing, the blessing of the Lord does what? Maketh rich, not the blessings. I know we sing, Abraham's blessings are mine. That's not what is the scripture said. What the scripture says is, the blessing is one blessing. I will show you. That's why Jacob got the blessing. And wherever Jacob went, because he had the blessing, once he entered the place, they said, since your coming, we have seen multiplication. He had the blessing. Abraham gave gifts, gold, things to the sons of the concubines, but he gave the blessing to Isaac. And when Isaac went with the blessing, he reaped a hundredfold where there was famine. Do you understand what I'm saying? That scripture is not that he sowed financial seed. It meant he farmed. And there was no rain falling. And there was no rain falling there. Yet, Abraham's crops brought a hundredfold when there was no rain. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I believe, Isaac's crop. I believe Isaac was the first human being to know that if water doesn't come from the sky, there's water in the ground. And the Holy Spirit showed him that dig deep. While other people, it wasn't magic. The Holy Spirit, I will show you, taught him. That's why when the blessing came on Jacob, he was taught by the Spirit. When it was time, he said, it is possible, even though this violates science, that if we take black sheep together, pure black sheep, we will produce pure white. We will get spotted ones together and produce pure black, which means we will produce not after their DNA. And it wasn't something that he just did magically. Let me lay hands on them. What he did was that he said, whatever I put before their eyes when they are mating, that is what they will produce. The Holy Spirit taught him. Do you get what I'm saying here? Joseph wasn't that he was doing magic. The Bible says Potiphar observed him, gave him small responsibility and saw that anything Joseph touched prospered. Not that people came to give these people gifts. Do you get what I'm saying here? These were the centers of production. Then he gave him managerial role and he said everything prospered. He said the whole house is your own. Same pattern he got to prison, same thing. Same pattern he got to Egypt as head of their, same thing. He was the carrier of something. If Christians come to understand the blessing, it means the day you are leaving the office, the boss knows our inheritance is going. Listen, the blessing maketh rich. Listen, when they had a problem in the civil service in Nebuchadnezzar's time, they went to look for Daniel who had the blessing. This wasn't that they marked our script wrong by God's favor. So we were to get F, but they gave us A plus because they marked it wrong. Because all kinds of testimonies have ruined Christianity. In school, somebody came and said, and everybody began to talk about that. Everybody said, he said, what happened? I came out with an A. How did you come out with an A? He said, I wrote nothing on my paper. And when they came out, there was an A. He said, then when I went to find out, the lecturer wrote 2 question marks. And the person who was recording thought it was 77. And everybody says, praise the Lord. That's not what we are saying. We are saying that, listen to this, we are saying that when they inquired and tested their brain, they found them to have 10 times more understanding. Are you following what I'm saying? Now look at this. I just want to quickly show you this. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of law, being made a curse, all right, that the blessing of Abraham might come on Gentiles through Jesus, all right, that we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, let me just show you plural and singular tense. That's what he did the next day. Look at the next verse to show you that we're not just playing games with English. He said, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereunto. He said, and if... See, Paul was a lawyer, so he was using his legal mind. He said, read the scripture well. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says not to seeds as of many, but to seed as of what? One. In other words, there's a difference between promises and promise. If there's a difference between seed and seeds, so there are promises God makes, but there is the promise. And it's the promise, I'll show this, of the inheritance. And what is that? Ephesians, and let me just show you, that is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Let me just show you, that is the Spirit is speaking about. It says, Ephesians 1. It says, and whom after you trusted, after you heard the word of the truth of the gospel, in whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance. The word earnest means the first installment, which means as far as this earth is concerned, when you get into eternity, there are other things in your inheritance. Well, as it is here, the inheritance is the what? Spirit. So God doesn't have houses in heaven to give, cars in heaven to give, jobs in heaven to give. What he has to give is the Spirit. So when you bring your hope and come within the veil, what God imparts into you is the Spirit. That is why Paul said in Philippians 1:19, I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Now, this is what God is saying, which the church doesn't understand. People pray for jobs, God gives them a promise, they go into the holiest of all, he imparts his Spirit, and they are looking for the job. God has not given me the job. Where is the job? Where is the job? See, if you say you want a car that costs 10 million, you say, Pastor, can you buy me a car that costs 10 million? I say, okay, yes, I'll buy you the car that costs 10 million. Come tomorrow to collect the car. I say that. You come inside my office to collect the car, and I give you 11 million naira. Have I given you the car? Yes. But I didn't give you a car. I gave you currency, which is the equivalent of that car. You will take that currency and in exchange take possession of the car. So when you come in for the fulfillment of a hope, God imparts his Spirit and say, go outside and in exchange. That's why Jesus said, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. So once he imparts the Spirit, you say, God, I want promotion in this office. See, there is nobody in the Bible God has promoted that was daft. There is nobody God has promoted. Listen, let me just tell you this, that they were not the most productive people in the office. For you to want to get promoted and get more money, and you are contributing less, is stealing. Do you understand what I'm saying? It means you want to do 419. Enter into a place and use emotions to extract what you are not contributing. Do you get what I'm saying there? People say the wealth of the wicked is laid for the righteous. That scripture means, it doesn't mean the wealth of the unbeliever is laid for the believer. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the wealth of the person who oppresses their worker will be laid up, which means the person who treats their workers right, there will be a movement of resources into that person's hand. That's what he's talking about. Not born again or sinner. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, people have been waiting 30 years for wealth to come. They are still waiting. You people say one day they are coming. Who is coming? Nobody's coming. They just come to my house and just knock. You say, well, that means one day in Nigeria, everybody just wake up. The Dangote should just wake up and say, this is the money. You should say, yes. See, you said, but the Egyptians gave money. It was the Jews that built that wealth. That money was their own. God doesn't do 419. It's justice, he does. That money was the money Joseph brought into that place. That was their inheritance. He said, give it to them. He said, give it to them. They brought the wealth in. They labored for that wealth. They created that wealth. This was making Christians not believe right and creating laziness. Where did you see? When they were going to promote Daniel and he became number three man, what did the mother of the king say? He said, listen, in the days of your father, there was a man in the kingdom. Go and look for him. And she said it with all certainty. This matter, he will answer it. He dissolves doubt. He answers questions. He interprets dreams. He said, an excellent spirit is in him. Anything, he will answer. So what God says, I want promotion. He imparts the Spirit into you. You enter into the office. Everything you are doing is productive. The boss will say, go and promote that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, all these things with trouble, I said, they are being hostile to church. Wait, I understand, but calm down. If you are in an office, I guarantee you, and you are singing every morning, and by the end of the office day, you have brought in most business into that office. The boss may not be a Christian, but they'll be watching you. The morning you don't sing, they'll come and meet you. Why have you not sang? Sing now. Because, look, listen, they'll tell you, I don't understand. Are you beginning to get proud now? You're not following your God again. It's the boss, I'm telling you. What's going on with you? You have been singing and getting, because what are they interested in? They know. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. But when you sing and there's no result, they'll say, will you stop singing? That's what Jacob was saying. He said, I will resign. The boss came and said, if you resign. When he said, I've learned from experience, what was it? He said, go ahead in Hebrew. He said, I consulted the occultic people and they told me, if you go, this business is gone. He signed from being employee to being partner. You understand? So, God comes and says, I will impart my spirit. Now, because of time, when the spirit is imparted, there are two dimensions to the Holy Ghost. Power and wisdom. Some things answer to power, some things answer to wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying? So get somebody who has a terminal disease healed. And they said he has 6 more weeks to live. You lay hands and transfer power. To live long on this earth and be upright and strong takes wisdom. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to eat, what not to eat. Tell you the exercise you must do. Teaches you that you see this earth here. There are some things I put on this earth. If you eat them this way, it will make you healthy. If you eat this once, it will cause problem. Teaches you about stress. Do you get what I'm saying here? Number one reason for ailment on this earth is what? Stress. In fact, I read it in one book written by an evangelical. Alright? I mean, they didn't believe in divine healing, but they believed in divine health. And they said, the key to divine health, number one, is don't do anything in a hurry. Make sure you plan properly so that you are not rushing at the last minute. That what causes the body to break down is that they are under pressure. They are rushing. Do you know? I read it. They said the second thing is anger. Alright? Do you know one day? I was just listening to a man. He's a secular man. He said, and I understood what he was saying after I did. He said he has discovered that people who come late for meetings live long. He said because those people don't worry, they'll come late and give you an excuse that we're late. Which means those people don't stress themselves. That's what he was trying to say. Say, are we late? I was late now. No, Abby, what do you want me to do? There was hold up. I can't. What will I do? It was raining now. If it's raining, I just relax. That they don't stress themselves. But you know, they hold up. I must be there. I must be there. So they first say. So in order not to be stressed and to be on time, plan ahead. Give yourself time. If you know you have rent to pay, start setting the money aside now. To start pacing the floor 2 weeks to the time is stress. Joseph knew that there were 7 years of famine. He set money aside so that they won't be under what? Stress. Many things people call faith is stress. Are you following what I'm saying here? There are times where you can start praying for things. There's no stress. Because that prayer point is going to happen in the next 10 years. You can just be praying. Declaring it now. Fasting over it. Prophesying. There's no stress. Do you get what I'm saying? And from that position of rest, you are releasing power. But if you are under stress, then you have to labor to enter rest before it works. Are you following what I'm saying? See, let me just say this. Don't take things for granted. If you know inside your family, there is a pattern of people dying of a certain ailment, start now making declarations. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not when it is diagnosed, then you start making declarations. See, Dr. Krefeldah told me, he said, Oral Roberts told him and Kenneth Copeland that the mistake they made with their body was that they started confessing for the reversal of old age when it set in.
that you in your fetish start confessing it so that it doesn't set in at all. Alright? Now, so, once you come in to the holiest of all based on the promise, God pours out His Spirit. That is something God does. If you go and read what Jesus was saying when He said, ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Read it in the context of it. Knock, it shall be open. He said, which of you will your children ask for fish and you give a scorpion? Will they ask for this, you give a stone? He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? That's what He was saying. You said the person is carnal. God says, I will pour my Spirit upon flesh. The only way you can be spiritual is if the Spirit is poured forth. Are you following what I'm saying? So you come in. That's why you believe for something, there's an impartation. The Holy Spirit will lead you to things to come. He will guide you into it. He will lead you into the fulfillment, which means you don't... Now, He doesn't have the job, but He can guide you to it. You understand this? He doesn't have the money, but He can guide you. In 1991, I heard a minister say this. I won't say his name now because I don't agree with many things he says now. But so let me not say, so you don't go and listen and you hear the word you're not supposed to hear. Say, Pastor, what you recommended him, because you don't know what people hear. All right? So he said, one day he was worshiping God, his business. And while he was worshiping God, God spoke to him and said, go to a Coke hotel. He said he got there. He said he stood a Coke hotel. Stood there. Every time, God, why did you bring me here? Nothing is happening. He said he just heard commotion around the reception area. What's going on? Saw a white man there. They were harassing him. He didn't take it as anything. He just went there and said, so why are you people harassing? And let me tell you what happens. Once the Bible says, the hope maketh us not ashamed. Hope will never disappoint you because the love of Jesus is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. One of the things the Holy Spirit pours into your heart is love. And when you follow love, you will never, that hope He gives you is through acts of love it will come to pass. Do you get what I'm saying here? In other words, Joseph just saw two men. It wasn't part of his job description, looking sad. He just said what, they didn't pay him for it. But that was the connection. Do you get what I'm saying here? But he wasn't just about the duty, he was also empathy about the people around. So the love of Jesus. So he said he just went there. And the man said, well, I'm from America and all of this. And he said, well, my money finished and I have American Express card. Well, in Nigeria, we didn't use cards there. So they said, which card? Well, they said, carry him out of the room. We've been living in the same card. He said, carry him. So he said, he just told him, I'm a lawyer, brought us his card. He's my client. And took over the matter. Then he said, okay, you can go back to your room. The man gave him his card and said, can I have your number? And he gave. He said 2 weeks after the man called him, I sent him a first class ticket. He said that was the first time he entered first class. And since then he has never stopped. He said he flew him to Houston. Then he realized he was an oil magnet. He said, I have this contract, we just bought this field. All I want to do is to sign as my lawyer. That's all. Sign here. He paid him $342,000. God did what? Led him. Do you get what I'm saying? There was an impartation of the Spirit, and he led. You can wake up and say, I don't feel like going. That's the end. Do you get what I'm saying here? I don't feel like doing it. That's the end. there are decisions in love. He will nudge you to do something in love. You will say, well, I'm not doing that. See, he pushes your heart. Help that person. You say, look, I'm too busy. Stop. That person, stop. See, somebody told us a property in, to be honest, in Abuja, 2 hectares of land in Abuja, Central District, you know, Abuja, Central District, close to CBN. Those kinds of land are not available. The person who told me, when I got there, in fact, on Friday, just to wait for them, I saw somebody sitting in a car. That car must maybe in, that car must have been bought maybe in 1989, 1990. It was battered, everything. So I waited. Then the man came. Next thing they said, well, that's the owner of the land. When the man came out, if they told me it was a vendor, no, I'm not joking. Oh, selling newspapers. These 2 hectares of land. How did we meet him? He said, look, he said, you can see no alcohol. Muslims have been trying to buy this land. I refuse. Somebody came and said, I grew up with them. He came to church. He needed money. We helped him to start his honey business. We did not know that 15 years later, do you understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit will lead you to sow seeds of love. That hope will never make you ashamed if you follow the nudgings of love. I just don't have time, but yeah. When it comes to power, he says, I need you to prophesy. In other words, you come in, I'll pour out my spirit. If it's a power dimension, then you speak. See, speaking, let me close by saying this. If the wisdom dimension I've touched on, that's why Paul came, he said, our speech and preaching was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and of power. So he talked about spirit and power. Then now said, how be it we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, that's mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, not prince of this world, the wisdom that comes to naught. All right? He says, but this is a wisdom, hidden wisdom, I have not seen. He says, for the spirit will reveal these things unto us. So you have the spirit operating in wisdom, and then you have the spirit demonstrating power. Someone said, my husband left the house. Okay, I held his shoes, anointed them, called him back. That's power. But what made him leave could be a wisdom problem. And if power comes, and you are still behaving the way you are, then he will go back. And this time, when he goes back, there will be 7 more wicked spirits. Do you understand what I'm saying? George Bush was president of the United States Senior. Within 4 years of his presidency, 2 of his sons became governors of the 2 of the largest states in America, Florida and Texas. 8 years after, which means he was president, the Democrats came in, Clinton did 8 years. By the end of 8 years, his son became president of America. We won't accept that anyway. Do you understand this? This United States of America. But one day I was reading about him, how he raised his family. George Bush used to sign with his hands 100,000 Christmas cards. He was a builder of relationships. There is wisdom. Many people in him were indebted to him. They ask you, come for this birthday. I'm too. Jesus himself went for birthday. You. He said, I'm busy. Do you get what I'm saying? Many people are faithful but not wise. You know, he said the steward was faithful and wise. There are many people that don't rise. They are faithful, but they are not wise. So he pours out his spirit. You can prophesy. Now let me just close by saying this. There is a difference between affirmation, we've called it the confession of faith, but really and truly, what we are declaring is our hope. I understand it, confession of faith, and we're confessing. Affirming what you believe, declaring a truth you have embraced. It is different from what Jesus was saying. Faith prophesies. See, when you want to release power, you release power by prophesying. When Jesus was walking towards Lazarus, he said, when they were telling him, if you saw this, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. That is an affirmation of a truth that he believed. But that wasn't going to raise Lazarus. Do you get what I'm saying? When he got there, he said, Father, I thank you, heard me always. You see, and what he did was that he received something from the Father, was imparted. But Lazarus was still there. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He said, if you have faith, you shall say to this mountain. A prophetic utterance is always instructive, is always commanding, is declaring to something what it should do. Many Christians confess, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But don't tell he that is in the world what it should do. Do you get what I'm saying? Jesus said to the wind, peace, be still. Do you get that? He said, if you will say to this mountain. One day I was in a book by Peter Wagner. He said they were praying in the spirit to sell a property. They prayed. He said one day after 3 months, one of his staff got up in prayer and said, whoever it is that God has ordained to come to buy this property, in the name of Jesus, I command you now to come in. 15 minutes after, a man walked in. To cut the long story short, he bought the property. When the man was going, they were seeing him off. He said, you know, for the last 3 months, I've been seeing your signboard. I kept telling myself, I will come. He said, so when did you decide to come? He said, about 20 minutes ago. It coincided with the time when he said, come forth. See, that's why he says, he that prophesies, let him prophesy according to his proportion of faith. Faith prophesies. Faith doesn't just confess. Are you okay with what I'm saying? Jesus said, arise, take your bed and walk. These are instructive words. What did Peter do? When they showed him Dorcas, he knelt down and prayed. What was he praying about? God, impart the spirit to raise her. Once he knew the thing had been imparted, he got up. Tabitha, I say unto you, arise. If he said, Father, I thank you because you've heard me, and went, Dorcas would have been there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you are believing God to get married. You are already married. God has answered the prayer. You need to open your window and say, now, I say to the man who, but understand this, that is to bring the man, but it's wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because he can bring the man in commandment and you chase the man in commandment. Didn't he say, you have stoned those I sent to you? So they came. Or you took stones. Did you tell me? I was stoned. You saw a character flaw. His shoes are not shining properly. Please get out. I don't move with guys who don't shine their shoes. Are you following what I'm saying? 5 years later, you go to an office, you see him inside the office, his shoes are shining. You say, what happened? The wife said he didn't like to shine shoe, so I simply just got him a person to shine. God said, can you see how stupid you are? Do you understand what I'm saying? Or God can bring a woman to you. Let's balance it before we go. I say, well, she can't cook, but there are chefs there. Are you for what I'm saying? The truth about the matter is that if you are called into some deep ministry, may your wife not cook well so you can fast. God is in infinite wisdom, wants you to be fasting. But you are saying you can't go. You can't go. God says, oh boy, where you are going, you need to fast. Let me just close, because I heard a story. I heard a story. And it's quite powerful. A woman, I heard this story. One of the most powerful things I've heard about wisdom. She couldn't cook. No, what happened was, the son got married. And after about 2 weeks, he started coming back to the house. And he sit down in the house and eat dinner. And go, eat dinner, go. So the mother was worried. So one day the friend came with him, ate. So she called the friend. Why is this boy coming and eating inside the house? Is there a fight at all? The friend said, ah, the day you don't even see him here is because he goes to eat out. His wife cannot cook. Ah! So the mother said, okay, don't worry. Thank you for telling me. Left. Then she called the wife. I'm having guests at home. And come, said, now, you follow me to the market, you are going to cook for the guests. The lady was panting, sweating. So she brought her into the kitchen and said, no, let me cook, just watch me. Cook, 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 cook. Cooked in excess, gave her half. Said, take it home. I cooked too much. Just take this half home. She took the half home. The son did not come until 6 weeks. As she showed up, she called the daughter, ah, there's another party. Cook, cook, cook. Gave half. The son did not show up. I'm just saying wisdom. Son did not show again until 6 weeks was over. Then he came back and she called the daughter and I said, listen. He said, you saw how I did it? He said, yes. So yeah, do it. She did it. When she was going, she knelt down. I want to thank you. You didn't criticize me. You knew the problem and you taught me. You just saved my marriage. When there is no wisdom, alright? If you look at what Paul was saying, he was saying, where power stops, wisdom starts. He said, but we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. That's one of our problems in Christianity is we are trying to use power to build companies. We use prophecy and favor instead of innovation. Do you get what I'm saying? There is no company in this world that is prophecy that brought it. Are you for what I'm saying here? Are you understand what I'm saying? You can prophesy one country after that. God says, oh yeah, innovation. Do you get what I'm saying here? So we need to understand the power dimensions of the Spirit and His wisdom. So what I came to say first, get the hope. When you get the hope, that's what gives you an appointment in the holiest of all. When you enter, he doesn't have dollars. He doesn't have pounds in heaven. What did Peter and John say? Silver and gold have we none. Because this temple we are going, this is what we are getting. Such as we have, we got in this temple. Give we unto you. What they gave? An impartation of the Spirit. So where you going? He gives you the impartation. He says, now, that is the currency of all things. Go and change it into any manifestation that you want. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those under the sound of my voice. Deepen this truth in their heart, expand it within their consciousness, and let the revelation dawn upon their spirit so that it transforms their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you all.